dance is one of these areas that's really unique because it allows students to be creative. And in school, as like a you know, an education system, we're still learning how to foster creativity in our students, but it's such an important skill. And so that's why those three rules are so important, because we have to teach students how to be creative, because really they're in a system that doesn't foster that. And so that's why those three rules like really set the tone for that creative expression, and saying like the correct way, being correct in this class is when you're different, and making it so explicit that, because those, some students need to know that they're going to get it right before they're willing to try. And so that's why that rule helps them understand, oh, being different is the correct way of moving.
This is the Phys Ed Cast. My guest today on the Phys Ed Cast is Melanie Levenberg. Melanie is a physical literacy and education consultant, keynote speaker, TEDx energizer, and the creator of Dance Play and founder of Play International. She's a world leader in providing physical literacy programs and training to clients across the education, recreation, and fitness sectors. Melanie travels the world to help organizations infuse positivity, purpose, and playfulness into their programs design, as well as in their people's mindsets. Through dynamic keynote presentations and energizer sessions, she inspires teachers and employees to discover the best versions of themselves and put their passion into action as they become vibrant leaders in their community. As a children's fitness expert and consultant, she's had the honor of working with organizations such as OFIA, Kingston Gets Active, PHE Canada, Vivo for Healthier Generations, the University of Western Ontario, Les Mills International, Korea National Sport University, and Move, Live, Learn, just to name a few. 2013, she established and created Play Programs, the world's only pre-choreographed and pre-packaged physical literacy program and training for Dance Play, Power Play, and Playground. She now happily travels the world as a physical literacy consultant and keynote speaker, having presented workshops and energizers throughout North America and internationally in Shanghai, Copenhagen, Seoul, London, Dusseldorf, just to name a few. When she's home in Vancouver, she stays active by exploring the mountains and ocean and is addicted to moving and playing outside and finding joy by exploring with her wife and daughter. I hope you'll enjoy my conversation with Melanie Levenberg. All right, I'm here today with a good friend of mine, Melanie Levenberg. Melanie, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm not too bad. For all of those people out there that don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Melanie Levenberg, and I live in Vancouver, British Columbia. I am a PE teacher who was terrified of teaching dance. And so through my career path, I had an opportunity to develop a really fun and active way to get kids moving and to get them involved with dance in schools. And so I left teaching and created a program called Dance Play. And we now get to offer this program to schools across the world through networks of instructors who are trained to deliver these physical literacy and dance programs that the focus is on getting kids active and promoting positive mental health.
That's great. I'm going to come back to something you said just then in a little bit, but you mentioned you're a physical educator first and foremost. How did you get started as a physical educator? Like what, I guess, brought you to that profession and how did you, where did you go to school and sort of what was that start for you?
Well, I grew up in a really small town in Northern Ontario in Canada. It was called Kapuskasing. It's a little town in the woods. And there was no dance classes in my community. I think I always liked moving, but I grew up playing sports. That's just what I did. And so just naturally, when you live in a small town and you like playing sports, it's kind of like your career path very much obviously is that you're going to become a PE teacher. And so I went to school. I did a kinesiology degree at the University of Western Ontario, and I did my teacher's college there also. And then I moved to Toronto and I did my master's in education, focusing on comprehensive school health. That was my education side of things, I guess I should say. I started teaching. I had a very interesting start because I'm French speaking. French is my first language. I actually became a supply teacher after only being in university for 1 year because the French school was looking for someone who could provide PE and support the PE program when their teachers had to go away traveling with the school teams. And so the principal was a really awesome guy. I was a summer camp counselor, and he's like, "You seem to really enjoy working with kids. What do you want to do?" I said, "I want to be a teacher." He's like, "Will you come and be our substitute teacher for our PE program? But I want to bring you in and actually have you be part of our annual planning so that you understand the units that we're developing. And when you come in, you're not just, you know, getting a clipboard and you have no relationship with the students. You just, you know, you're actually, you can be helping by teaching in continuing lessons." And so I it was a really cool context. I got to participate in these annual planning meetings, and the teachers that I was working with who were mentoring me while I was in my teacher education program were allowing me to, you know, actually take on lessons and, you know, be more than a substitute teacher during those 4 years. So I learned a lot of strategies on how to be very effective in classroom management when I don't have necessarily a long-term relationship with the students, which eventually was a really important skill that I now need all the time, because we go into schools all the time where we don't know the students. We have to come in and we have to deliver a highly effective PE program. And so I built up all these classroom management opportunities through that. So yeah, I worked as a teacher. Once I graduated, I took on a long-term contract and I became a full-time teacher. And then I left teaching to go work at the government, at the Ministry of Children and Youth Services in Ontario, and then a non-for-profit organization called OFIA, which is the Ontario Physical Educators Association, where I did workshops with teachers to help them improve their craft across the whole province.
Oh, wow. An amazing journey. Yeah. I think that's a relief. I haven't heard of many people that have had, I guess, that initial experience where, you know, I think a lot of people come into that sort of like substitute teaching or teacher on call thing, and you just thrown straight into a classroom and expected to survive. But that sounds amazing to have that level of support from, you know, like a principal is obviously quite visionary in terms of like wanting to make sure that you succeed, and in doing so, making sure that the students also succeed by having that relationship with the students. So something to maybe explore for a lot of schools out there is ways to, I guess, make that transition from beginning teachers and new teachers to help them, I guess, flourish and in turn help the students flourish as well. So you mentioned you got out of physical education. Was it just an opportunity that arose for you at OFIA there or with the government, or was there something that, I guess, drew you away from working in the classroom on a day-to-day basis?
That's a really good question. I think there's two sides of it. One is I always felt like I wanted to reach thousands of people. And I have conversations like this with educators, and some people love being a classroom teacher and they want, you know, to impact their classroom and then their school community, and they really enjoy the school community aspect of it. I was always drawn to having a much broader scale and the people that I worked with. I also identified really early in my career that I love working with teachers. I love working with students, but I adore working with teachers. And so when the opportunities came up for me to work at OFIA, which was supporting teachers across the province in becoming better educators, and then working at the government, even like one step up, like for about 18 months, I stepped out of the education side of things to do more policy work and hope, you know, so I got to play all the levels of the system. And that was fun, and that was great. That was one of the draws out of leaving the classroom and trying something different. The other side of it was, I struggled with the school culture where I was, because I really built relationships with my students, and I got to work with a lot of students who had challenges in the school in terms of discipline and academics. And I, you know, as a new teacher, I was really like bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, wanting to make the biggest impact with, you know, the highest need students. I put a lot of effort into these students, and it was really challenging because in the classroom, I saw them flourish and thrive. And then I would see them leave in the hallways, and another teacher who was just jaded, just from years of, you know, being an educator, just like come down on them and basically one of my biggest moments in my class was that he had passed the test and he was so happy and we had worked so hard, and that very student walked out into the hallway on the same day. Another teacher saw him wearing a hat and suspended him for 3 days. And it was such a heartbreaking moment that was like, I can't work in a school where the culture of the teachers towards and their perceptions towards how we deal with students is not part of the conversation that we have on a daily perspective. So it was just like there was that one pain point that made me look somewhere else, and that was the turning point that made me say, hey, maybe I want to go somewhere else and do something different. Yeah. So, yeah.
For sure. It's so interesting because I guess all of the episodes that I've done of the Phys Ed cast so far, the key theme would be relationships, and people keep talking about relationships. And the last episode I just did with Doug Gleddy was talking about a blog post that he wrote based on a situation that happened with somebody that he knew about taking recess away from kids or taking phys ed away from kids because of behavior issues and stuff like that. So it's this constant theme of building relationships, having good relationships. The better the relationship between all of the people in the school, whether it be teacher to teacher or teacher to student, I think is the key thing. And I think that's something that you do really well with your dance play program. So Where did dance play begin? And if dance play is a new word to you, for people listening, you don't know what dance play is, can you sort of give us dance play in a nutshell?
Absolutely. Well, I think it's important for them to know first that dance play is spelt with a number 3 instead of an A in the word play. So people say dance 3 play, dance play 3, dance ply. We've had all kinds of versions of it. And so to answer your question, how did I get into dance play? So I grew up in a town where there was no dancing. So dance was not something that I could do when I was growing up. So when I went to university and I became a teacher, we had 0 hours of training on how to integrate dance into our PE program. It just wasn't part of our curriculum. So when I became a PE teacher, it was all teaching games for understanding and, you know, health education, because in Ontario, it's a health and physical education integrated curriculum. And so when I became a teacher and I was working in the schools and I finally got my own classroom and the dance unit would come along, I would just call the local dance studio and they would come in. And I noticed, I was young and I was new, but I would just notice that there was a very different classroom culture that would occur when the dance studio educators would come in to do their dance unit. Much more classroom management, behavioral issues would go skyrocket through it was the unit where I had to like go around the peripheral and, you know, keep the students in line to try to support whatever the educator was doing. And just the approach seemed to be very inactive. So I just thought that just what dance is, it's just part of the deal. It is what it is. And then when I worked at OFIA, I was a French speaking curriculum consultant, and I worked with a team of about 8 English speaking consultants or English speaking trainers. And so each one of those trainers could teach any of the workshops, but people had their areas of expertise. There was the TGFU trainers, there was the assessment and learning, you know, trainers, there was the dance person and dance workshop. And I had just avoided the dance one. So I had to teach all the English ones in French. So I had to become the expert of all subjects in one language. And one of them was dance. And through, alignments, at one point I had to deliver a French workshop, which meant translate what the English one was and offer it to the Francophone teachers in Ontario. And I just looked at it. Our job at OFIA was to always assess what are we teaching others and is this the best practice in physical education? And I just said, like, the way we're doing things doesn't align, according to what I'm seeing, with what our PE standards and just philosophy is, which is, you know, promoting confidence in students and keeping students active, most of all because our teachers are having such limited time with students. Why is it that with this subject, we're telling them to put them in lines and a lot of the activities they're not physically active? So I just started playing with some ideas, some things that I had seen in the fitness industry, some things that I had seen in education and other topics. So teaching games for understanding, the concept of modified games to begin, and then applying technique and, you know, refinement afterwards. I love that concept. And I said, why don't we do this with dance? Like, it's really a philosophy that I believe in and as a PE teacher that I use with sports and games. Why don't we do that with dance? And so literally, this program has been built over 6 years. It's not like I sat down one day and wrote it out. It's really trial and error and working with educators, getting feedback from them about how do we teach dance in a way that builds positive attitudes in students and makes them excited about learning dance, and then focus on the refinement of what dance is, which is the choreography and the technique, in order for them to prepare a dance performance. And so officially as a program, I left those positions and I launched Dance Play in 2013. So it's been around for 5 years now at this point.
So much more of Mel's story to come, but I just want to take a quick break and let you know a little bit about iphysed.com's online learning platform. Currently, we have 2 different forms of online learning available for physical educators out there. We have our online courses, which are completely self-paced, and currently we have an assessment online course as well as a creating game animations with Keynote online course. Both really, really popular courses, and will really help you improve not only your teaching practice, but your assessment practice as well. And as I mentioned, they're completely self-paced. So you can complete them at your own pace, combination of videos and text, as well as a whole bunch of assessment resources, which you can use in your classes right away. The other thing that we have as part of our online learning platform is what we call The Squad. Now, The Squad is an online community of physical educators who are committed to improving their practice. It's hosted on Facebook. It's completely free to join. You can join along anytime you like. And by joining The Squad, you're going to get access to personalized coaching and mentoring, exclusive webinars, as well as just a community of committed physical educators who you can ask questions to, you can share resources with, and you can work together to improve teaching practice and quality physical education experiences for students right around the world. If you're interested in either of those online learning opportunities, you can head over to iphysed.com/learn, so iphysed.com/learn, and you can find out more about our online courses as well as The Squad. We look forward to hopefully having you join us in one of those courses or within The Squad after you listen to this message. So for now, let's get back to finding more about dance play. Having had the program come into our school last year at Meadow Ridge, like, I can't speak highly enough of the program. Like, I just think, like, I'd sort of past 5 years in Singapore, like, I'd seen it online, I'd seen people talking about it, but to actually, like, experience it in person and see the way that the kids and the teachers and everybody around the school really engaged with the program was really fantastic. So if somebody was to invite you guys to come into their school, what could they expect?
They could expect a curriculum-based program. So that's the one thing that, as a PE teacher, if I am going to come into a school and deliver a physical activity program, I want to support the curriculum. And I feel like schools should look at all their external providers and see if those external providers are actually supporting the curriculum or just delivering content. I think it's important for external providers who work in schools to provide curriculum-based material. So whether we come in for one day, so we can come in and we call them activation workshops where we energize the schools. We would come and dance with every class in the school for that one day during their PE program typically. And we would just provide a dance experience that is energizing, where the kids get active, where they learn dances from around the world. And most importantly, they get sweaty, they're moving, and they're developing positive mindsets about physical activity, which at the end of the workshop is that, oh, if this is what dance is, I can do dance. This is awesome. And I'm excited to explore more. So sparking that curiosity. The second type of program that we offer in schools is a residency, where we come in and we teach the dance unit if a teacher wants us to teach like 4 or 5 lessons. And in that case, we start with an energizing workshop, but then we work through different activities where students learn about certain elements of dance or cultures from around the world. And then based on their knowledge and their movement vocabulary that we're teaching them, they're then equipped to prepare a dance performance that represents their thoughts and ideas according to their small group. And so we do that all, again, curriculum-based and standards-based, where we give them criteria that matches what the curriculum is and what we should be assessing in students. And then they can use their skills and knowledge to prepare that as they work in small groups.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I really enjoyed and found valuable in it was exactly like you said, like my experience in either teaching dance or having external providers teach dance is that often it is, okay, we're going to learn this routine, we're going to try and perfect it, and then we're going to perform it at the end of however many lessons or however many weeks. And that's great for some kids because they love that, I guess, structure. But then there's the other part of the class that doesn't enjoy that and is always out of time and is always making mistakes. And then the focus is on, well, why can't you do this? But the dance play approach and my experience with it was just, I guess, one, the focus on the curriculum and the focus on physical literacy, and two, the focus on that positive, I guess, self-image and, you know, you're awesome and you're bubble of awesome and stuff like that. So, I think my experience with it was seeing kids that don't, like you said, don't necessarily, I guess, identify as with dance being something that they enjoy, all of a sudden they were asking when can we do this again, and you know, when are they coming back again next year? Are we going to do it again? So it was fantastic to see that engagement, particularly in some of the, I guess, if you really want to get stereotypical, the boy students who, you know, dances for girls and I don't do dance, you know, like, yeah, at the start of the very first the first lesson, that was their attitude, but by the end of it, it had completely changed. They were excited about the next one. So I guess the focus that you put on that positive self-image, you know, what steps do you take to do that, and what are sort of the strategies that you use within the program?
Well, that's a great question, and it comes back to the three in dance play. So people say, why did you put a three in there?
That was going
to
be my next question.
So when I looked at just how students were approaching dance, and this came from the trial and error, and that's why the three rules of play really only came out like 3 years after I started doing this approach. It's that as much as I would simplify movements and, you know, bring in repetition so that students could develop the mastery in the movements, they still didn't have the mindset for it. And so that's where the three rules came. And the class begins, the dance play class begins with us presenting to them the three rules of play and telling them, in this class, there's only three rules you have to follow. Those rules are: be positive. So if at any point you find yourself saying, you know what, I can't do this, I'm not a good dancer, dance is not my thing, I'm asking you to just switch it to say, you know what, at least I'll try. That's your first level. Level two is, as you're doing the dance moves, you're saying to yourself, you know what, I can do it. Or level three, you're saying to yourself, you know what, I am awesome. So just teaching the kids that it's important to recognize if there are negative self-talk that pops up when you're learning something new, and just practicing switching it to something positive, which fosters that growth mindset. The second rule that they have to follow is be fun. So they're not allowed to have fun in our class, because in life you can't have fun. So we teach them that they have to practice being fun. And that in this class, it's just, you know, using dance to practice sharing the most fun version of yourself with others. And the third rule is that you have to be yourself. So the correct way to behave and to move in this class is your way. And so, you know, and then we teach them that when they're doing it their way, that they can't get it wrong. So, you know, we get them to point to one another and say, hey, you can't get it wrong. So in that moment, before there's music, before there's movement, like, students are sitting on the ground. And, you know, teachers ask me, they're like, well, why don't you just get in the gym and start getting them moving? I'm like, because I need to address their mindset and that positivity and help them understand that, you know, they have to be positive, be fun, be yourself. And then the rest will come once you have that open mindset and that playfulness. Mm-hmm. And then the second level is the bubble of awesome. So, you know, it's a personal space thing, but we also, you know, teach them that it's a reinforcement of the be yourself rule, where in your space, I want you to show me your rules and you're filling up show me your moves. And in this class, as you're doing your own dance moves, you're showing me your awesomeness, and you're filling up your bubble full of your awesomeness by doing your dance moves and doing it with confidence and showing me your style. So those are the two keys that we use, the three rules and the bubble of awesome.
Yeah, and I can definitely attest to the impact that has, because long after we'd finished with our dance play residency, the kids were still using those three rules. And even myself as the teacher, I was often like, if I found a kid was really struggling with not wanting to do a certain activity, or just, you know, you could see that they were having a bit of a negative self-talk, just, you know, saying to them, hey, like, you know, you need to switch it around and tell yourself, like, at least you'll try. And to hear kids sort of use that language with each other, you know, months and months after was fantastic. And it's something that that was one of my big takeaways from the week that we had, was, you know, really focusing on that. Because you're right, like, you know, a lot of schools, not only in dance, but in a lot of activities, the kids come in and they're active straight away. And, you know, you don't know what experience those kids have had before they walk through the doors of that gym or that classroom. You don't know where they're coming from. Maybe they just had like a bad experience with another teacher. Maybe they, you know, if it's first thing in the morning, maybe they didn't have breakfast that morning. Like, you don't know. So to be able to like get the kids in and sort of gauge where they're at, but also like create this environment of positive self-talk and care and environment of collaboration between the kids, I think is a really, really important thing. So I think that's a really fantastic aspect of the program. And then the dance is just a heap of fun. Like the dances that we had when we had dance playing was, you know, like I was there like just having a ball, and the kids were looking at me like, you're crazy. But I think, you know, you can't help but have fun with the program. So you guys are totally definitely on a good thing. And I know it's been super successful for you. You've just been off doing a heap of workshops all around the place. Where have you been recently?
I just, this summer I was in the U.S., so mainly California and North Carolina. But before that, I was in Europe. So I went to Dusseldorf and did a bit of work there, and then also been in Asia. I was in China back in December. So, yeah.
Nice. So if
I did want to, can I say something about? No, so one of the things about dance and the mindset side of things is that dance is one of these areas that's really unique because it allows students to be creative. And in school, as like an education system, we're still learning how to foster creativity in our students, but it's such an important skill. And so that's why those three rules are so important, because we have to teach students how to be creative, because really they're in a system that doesn't foster that. And so that's why those three rules like really set the tone for that creative expression, and saying like the correct way, being correct in this class is when you're different. Mm-hmm. And making it so explicit that, because those, some students need to know that they're going to get it right before they're willing to try.
Yeah,
and so that's why that rule helps them understand, oh, being different is the correct way of moving.
Yeah, for sure. And like we were saying before as well, with that traditional way of teaching dance when learning a routine is like, you have to get it right. If you don't get it right, then you're wrong. So it really does flip things on its head. And if that's the catalyst for that change in terms of the student that doesn't like dance and now does like it because they have the freedom to be creative and they have the freedom to be able to express themselves in a way that's unique to them, I think it's amazing. So we spoke a little bit before about the focus on curriculum in terms of the program, and I know physical literacy is a really big part of what you do. So how does physical literacy, I guess, fit with dance play?
Well, as a PE teacher who had no dance training, and again, through my work with OFIA, when we look at everything we're going to do with students and everything we're going to teach teachers how to do, the lens of physical literacy has been integrated into the Ontario curriculum since 2008 as a very explicit concept. And I know that it's still rolling out in different states and different provinces and things like that. But I just looked at, I'm like, if this is our overall lens that we want to take when we're doing any activity in our program, then how do we develop physical literacy through dance? And so physical literacy, for the listeners who might not know, I like the Sport for Life explanation of it, because I call it a sound bite, something, you know, your elevator pitch, which is physical literacy is the competence, confidence, and motivation to be active for life. So as a program, when we're developing dance choreography, I said, okay, so how do I target the physical competence side of things? And I looked at fundamental movement skills. And I said, can dance develop fundamental movement skills? Instead of worrying about like roll, one, slide, punch, kick, pop, you know, kickball, I don't even know the terminology, kickball change. So it's like, can it just be the concept of a side slide? I like using a lot of sports movements like shuffles and pivots and leaps and jumps, because those movements are relatable to students. And they're also those foundational skills that will allow them to, regardless whatever activity they choose as a lifelong physical activity choice, that I'm helping them build the foundational skills they'll need to feel successful at those activities, but I'm doing it through dance. And I think that ultimately that's what our physical education curriculum is. You know, people might listen to this podcast and say like, oh, you know, Mel doesn't like traditional dance styles, or like studio, you're making studio dance be bad. And I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm just saying that in our physical education program, our teaching methodologies need to reach the masses. And we also need to focus on simplicity and what our curriculum mandates. And there's nowhere in our curriculum that says by the end of grade 8, students will be able to pass the choreography and technique standards for the Royal Academy of Dance in jazz, ballet, and tap. As a teacher, that's what I thought it said. And so, you know, that's why I would call those studio teachers in. But I just think we can use a more inclusive and engaging teaching methodology to provide students with the opportunity to learn the foundational skills in dance and concepts in dance, so that their experience with us with dance in our PE program makes them excited to go learn more about dance. You know, if at the end of their unit, they're like, can we do hip hop next time? Like, this is great. I have a student running to me asking me for more physical activity, and I can then direct them to, hey, if you want to learn more about hip hop, check out a hip hop studio in your community where you can, that can lead to lifelong physical activity. So that's the one component, is the foundational skills for physical literacy. We also purposefully develop confidence in our class. So again, the three rules of play in the bubble of awesome. So as they're learning these movements, they're not worried about technique or choreography. They're hearing from us, you can't get it wrong. You know, show me your style, whatever you're doing, you look awesome. And then, you know, that confidence and that success breeds motivation. And we help them through having a positive experience with physical activity. We're helping them to value physical activity, and that regardless what they choose to do, whether they choose studio dance or they just, you know, have confidence when they, you know, have a grade 7 grad or their high school prom or a wedding, that they get out on the dance floor and that they can, you know, move confidently. And through that, they're going to have better social interactions. You know, they're just going to feel more confident as a person. And that's really what we're doing in physical education, is I like to call it building better humans, and, you know, like help building healthier, happier humans, so that with these little skills that they're learning in our PE programs, they can go out in life and have a good time with movement. And that movement is a part of their overall, you know, mental health and physical health and emotional health and social health and well-being. So that's the lens that when we say we take physical literacy, it's like, how can we build all of those things through a dance, through a fun and playful dance experience? Mm-hmm.
For sure. And I think like everything you're saying, it's while the topic is dance, it's, you know, that transferability across everything, whether it be a team sport or an individual sport, or just even in a classroom, studying math or science or anything like that. I think like a lot of the concepts that you're speaking about really transfer across all areas. So while the focus right now is on that dance, I think, you know, you can use any of these ideas and strategies through anything really, which I think is a really strong part of the program. So I guess I'm conscious of time because I like to keep these episodes short, and I know that we could keep chatting forever. But I sort of as we get towards the end, I just want to ask you a few, I guess, quick questions, things that may be coming up or things that people don't know about you. So one question I always ask is like, what's the most interesting thing about you, I guess, outside of physical education or outside of dance play? What's something that you love to do, or something that I guess is just interesting about Mel?
This is like one thing that I like to reveal, is that I'm a PE teacher who chooses to play dodgeball recreationally, which is like such a contentious issue, because like, does dodgeball fit in PE? Like, I like playing dodgeball, and so I play dodgeball recreationally as my lifelong physical activity, which in itself is kind of a contradiction, because, you know, human target games and PE is like not a thing. So I just think, I like, you know, some people laugh about that, some people are like, what? But it's just, it's my little secret.
Well, that's a good one. I like that a lot. Okay, yeah. Another one, digging a little bit deeper, I guess, what do you like? You're obviously very good at what you do, but what's something you're not very good at?
Cooking.
Cooking?
Oh, cooking. Yeah. I'm like, you were, or, and keeping plants alive. Yeah. Those okay. two things. I'm not very domesticated. I can bake. I will bake a cookie. I will bake a cake. I'm good at baking, but cooking food, not good.
Not good at all. All right. And then I guess something like one of the questions that I've asked is like, what does physical education mean to you? But I think you've sort of explained that throughout the, this podcast, but I guess like what's the most important thing, I guess, about physical education? Or if you had like, just there was one thing that you had to, you know, you had the chance to say to people, like, this is something you should focus on. This is something that is super important that you do with your students in physical education this year or this month or this week or in the next lesson. Like what's something that's just really at the core of what physical education means to you?
What physical education means to me, I think it's how movement is a powerful tool to teach our students how to be better humans on this planet. And through our programs, like if there's one thing that I want teachers to think about, is how can we foster positive social interactions and help our students just be better humans? Like we get to move with them, which is the most relatable way that they're going to come out of a school system and go into society. They have to move every day. Our topic is the only topic out of any subject that they are going to use every single day. And I just think that through our programs, like teaching them to make eye contact, teaching them to look at another human and, you know, give a high five, teaching them to work together in teamwork, but actually doing that physically and with, you know, physical challenges and activities, I think that's really what our program is about. And the subject, whether it's dance, whether it's games, whether it's fitness, whether it's yoga, it doesn't matter. That's your platform to help students become healthier, happier humans. And that's really the target. And that's, I think, is what drives me.
I couldn't agree more with you. I think it's super important. Like for me, I don't really care if a kid can dribble a basketball with a fantastic technique or shoot 10 out of 10 free throws, or, you know, it really is about creating good humans, because good humans do good things, and with more good things, the world's a much better place. So I think I definitely agree with you on that one. So as we come to the end, is there anything, I guess, coming up for you? You have any more workshops or speaking engagements or any new programs or anything like that coming out that you want to speak about?
Yeah, well, the most new thing that has happened to Dance Play in the last 6 months is that we've taken our training online. So teachers all over the world who listen to these podcasts before 2018 couldn't do workshops with us unless they flew to Canada. And so now our training is online, and it's really exciting because we get to work with teachers from around the globe on different cohorts. So every like 4 months that we bring on a group of people, we have calls, but people can pace themselves and we do our training and learn how to bring dance in a, you know, to their students. The thing that we do is we give them the choreography. Everything is pre-made to develop physical literacy. Their job in the training is to learn how to teach it. And it focuses on becoming a better teacher in terms of verbal cues, how to coach interpersonal skills among students, and just learn how to teach dance. Also having the confidence of just leading movements to a rhythm. So that's a new and exciting thing that's happening. And looking into the future as a program, dance has been something that I stumbled my way into, but we've had a lot of success with providing educators in the recreation sector with a pre-packaged physical literacy program where our team of experts provides like the quality content. And then we work with educators and rec leaders for them to deliver it in their community. And people like that. And so they've asked us to expand in terms of topics. So we're going to be releasing a yoga play program where we take the same playful approach, where we break a few rules, and we focus on physical literacy. And we're going to do that through the lens of yoga. And that program is going to be released a little bit later this fall and informally next year in 2019.
Exciting times mm-hmm. ahead for sure. So I guess the last thing would be, like, if people out there listening to this and they want to find out more about Dance Play, they want to book a Dance Play workshop or residency, like where do they go? What do they do?
Danceplay.com is the best place to go.
With a three.
DanceCEPL3Y.com. And you can connect with us and our team. And then depending where you live, there's an instructor who's trained to go into your school and to bring the programs to you anywhere in the world. Sometimes it means we have to fly in, but we can literally service people anywhere in the world. So it's awesome.
That's fantastic. And like I said, having had this experience firsthand, I cannot speak highly enough of the program. So if you are interested in exploring it and having Dance Play in your school, I would highly recommend heading over to danceplay.com and checking that out and getting in contact with the Dance Play crew, because it's just amazing. So thanks so much for spending about half an hour with me today, Mel. It's an absolute pleasure to speak with you. And I know people are going to get a heap out of this episode of the Phys Ed Cast. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. You're awesome.
You're awesome too. As you can probably tell from this conversation, I am a massive fan of the Dance Play program that Mel created and a lot of her trainers use. As I mentioned, we had it in our school last year, and I look forward to having them back again in a couple of weeks to deliver another 2-week Dance Play residency to our students at Metteridge School here in British Columbia, Canada. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Melanie. I definitely enjoyed recording it. I love to chat with her and spend time with her, and I'm super lucky that she's in the same part of the world as me here in Vancouver. So thanks again for listening to the Phys Ed Cast. If you did enjoy today's episode or any of our other previous episodes, it would be a really big help if you could just take a moment to rate and review the show, particularly on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating and a bit of a review, and that will definitely help the show get out to more and more people, and help other people become aware that the Phys Ed Cast exists, and hopefully will inspire some physical educators out there to improve, develop, or change their practice in a way that's going to be meaningful for their students. Thanks again for tuning in. Having some really exciting episodes coming up in the next few weeks and months. I'll be chatting with Ben Landers, chatting with Jace Ferguson, Tim Fletcher, and a couple of other special guests. So make sure you subscribe to the Phys Ed Cast using whatever podcast platform you use, and you won't miss out on those episodes. Until next time, my name is Nathan Horn from iphysed.com, and this has been the Phys Ed Cast.